The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
It's interesting, just last weekend, it was 24 years ago that Kylie and I moved to Toowoomba. And I had had the opportunity to study and to work in many cities in Australia and in Europe prior to that. And so having enjoyed some beautiful cities around the world, why would I come back? Why would we come back to the city of Toowoomba? Prior to that, I'd been offered my dream job in an incredible laboratory at University of Melbourne. And another one at University of Queensland. And so I had the chances that we could have lived in Sydney, in Melbourne or in Brisbane. But as we prayed about it, we had this sense of, no, that's not where you're meant to be. And so when this position came up at USQ and I applied for it and got it, in many ways it didn't make sense. But Kylie and I knew that this is where we're meant to come. We knew this is where God wants us to be, and we've never regretted the fact that we live here and get to celebrate life with all of you. And maybe you've got a similar story where maybe you hadn't planned to come to Toowoomba, but God orchestrated it in a way that this is the city where you live. And so, as you know, when we talk about the importance of our city, we've been talking about praying our city today, we're going to talk about blessing our city, it doesn't mean you have to live within the boundary of the city of Toowoomba. Because again, for our family, we're not even on that map. We're one of these little localities that sit around the outside. So when I talk about cities, what do I actually mean? Let's take a moment and define cities. The Australian Bureau of Statistics and the Australian Urban Institute define a city as having a population greater than 100,000 residents. Do you know how many cities there are in Australia? 18. There's only 18 cities within Australia. But you see, while we might have a definition of being greater than 100,000 people that makes up a city, you know that the characteristics of a city are much greater than that. And so when we think about city, you could say that it's also characterised by its geography. So when we think about Toowoomba, Toowoomba is a city on a hill. We talk about Toowoomba as a city on a hill. If you talk about Sydney, the geographical feature of Sydney is the harbour. Okay, so we could define a city by its geography. On the other hand, we can define it by its people. When you think about Melbourne, you're all thinking weather, coffee, yeah, cultural. The most multi-ethnic city in Australia. One of the most multi-ethnic cities in the world. Okay, because that's its people. It does mean it has good coffee and lots of great restaurants because of it. Good side of it, good spin-off from it. Okay, another thing that defines a city can either be something that's very healthy or unhealthy, and that is what it celebrates. And so, Sydney, Toowoomba, we celebrate our carnival, the Carnival of Flowers. It defines who we are. People travel to Toowoomba because of its carnival. So, Toowoomba is my city, and for nearly all of you, I'm sure, Toowoomba is your city. And so, many of you live in Toowoomba, and so you say, I live here, but maybe you don't live in Toowoomba, so is Toowoomba your city? Well, it is if you work here. If you live out of town and you drive into town, it's your place of work. Or maybe it's where you come to shop. Or you come to conduct business in Toowoomba. For many, it's your place of local health care. You come to the hospitals in Toowoomba. You come to Allied Health in Toowoomba. Or for many, particularly as you go, as we think of schooling, private and public schools, many people travel long distances to come into Toowoomba for schooling. If you're going to TAFE or you're going to university, Toowoomba is a major hub for education. If you want to go to the movies, where do you go? Grand Central. in the city. Okay, or the Strand. Okay. So, entertainment, if you prefer the Empire Theatre. Okay, all of these different aspects make Toowoomba a place where you might live, you might work, you might conduct business, you might come here for healthcare, you might come here for entertainment. If any of those things ring true, then Toowoomba is your city. Does that make sense? Okay, so it's much more than where you live. So I looked at the stats on Toowoomba, and in 2019, the official population of Toowoomba is just over 135,000 people. If we look at the population of Toowoomba Regional Council, it's just over 167,000 people. That means 81% of the population of our council area live within Toowoomba. And for nearly everyone else, it is their city as well, for all the reasons we've just talked about. I found that really interesting because when I looked at some other data on the state of Australian cities, Australia's the most urbanised city in the world. So in other words, almost 80% of the Australian population live in cities, live in those 18 cities. You can see that blue column, they're those that just live in Sydney and Melbourne. Australia's the most urbanised city of any nation in the world. So does that say that cities are the be-all and end-all? Not at all. Regions are also really, really important. Those of you who know me know my love for rural Australia, my appreciation for the regions. Last Sunday, Kylie and I and our family went out to a wonderful little place called Pilton. It's 40 minutes south of here. And when I say that we went there to be part of a church service, but it wasn't in a church building. It was in the Soldiers' Memorial Hall, because this is the oldest Soldiers' Memorial Hall built in Queensland, and it was a centenary. But what's interesting is that the Presbyterian Church had been meeting at Pilton Homestead for some years before that, and so when the hall was built, they started meeting as a church in the hall every fortnight. And they've met there for 100 years. And so we had the privilege last week to go back as a family and participate in that service and celebrate that with many, many other people. So that's an example of region. There are many other men and women from this church who have also preached at Pilton and in many other regional churches, because that's a ministry of this church. It's a beautiful ministry of this church to the regions, because regions really matter to us as a church as well. Okay, so just continuing that theme of regions, did you know regional Australia has a massive impact in terms of our national export wealth? 2/3 of Australia's national export wealth comes from regions. 1/3 of our gross domestic product, of our GDP, comes from regions. So regions are really, really important. So in focusing on cities at the moment, we're not diminishing regions, because in actual fact, healthy regions lead to healthy cities. But for the reasons we looked at earlier about healthcare and education, etc., healthy cities also help bring healthy regions. So it's both together. But let's take some time over the last 2 weeks, today and next week, to continue to look at why cities should flourish, why we want to pray for them, why we want to bless them, because we know that as they flourish, it will benefit all of us. So last week, Rob talked to us about how to pray for our city. Today, we're going to talk about blessing our city. So one of the things about blessings is that it's a little bit different from praying. We might pray, God, would you please do this in our city? God, would you please make this happen in our city? And so Rob spoke about this and gave some practical advice on what that looks like. So how are blessings different? Through prayer, prayer is, as you know, a conversation. It's talking to God. It's listening to God. It's hearing what God's saying. So as we pray for our city, we should also be listening to what God is saying about our city through both His Holy Spirit revealing it to us and through the Scriptures. And so as we read, have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit both informing us about what God wants, then we get clarity on these are the things God wants us to pray for our city. This is His will for our city. And so as we start to hear His will for our city, we start to proclaim out, God, this is what you want, so would you bless this? And a blessing is speaking out what God wants for a city. And as we affirm what God wants, as we declare it with our voice through blessing, it's in fact incredibly powerful. And so it's not a case of, oh, I just bless or I just pray. There is value in both. Both have their place and purpose. So in the mornings, I get up, I spend time reading the Bible, I spend time in prayer, and then I also spend time in blessing. And I've learnt there's value and beauty in both of these. And so this morning, let's take some time and hear from God's word aspects of what God says we should do for towns and cities. So let's look at how to bless a city. First of all, I want to focus on this theme of peace. And many of you would be familiar with what I'm about to say. For others, it might be a new concept. But when I'm talking about peace, I'm not talking about an absence of conflict. You see, in the Roman era, they had a word called pax, P-A-X, and it meant the absence of conflict. So Pax Romana was this rule of the Roman soldiers and the government in a way that quelled any uprising so that there was no conflict. So the absence of conflict was peace. So we get the word peace from pax. You get another word, pact. Anyone familiar with a pact? It's where you make an agreement, so there's peace. Okay, it comes from that same origin. But when the scriptures talk about peace, they actually go back to an earlier word, the word shalom. And so they refer to this word shalom as this blessing that flows, a blessing of peace. In 2012, as a church, we spent a number of weeks actually looking at shalom. And we did an integrated study on it, etc. And this was how we defined shalom a number of years ago. Shalom is a biblical word that refers to the well-being of a community whose members are living in harmonious relationships and experiencing personal and family blessings in every area of life. Shalom includes ideas of harmony, contentment, wholeness, health, safety, prosperity, tranquility, perfectness, complete peace and community well-being. The people of God living together in the blessings of God. It is everything God desires for you. It is comprehensive flourishing. Doesn't that sound good? When someone in Scripture would say, peace be with you, or shalom, this is what they are declaring for that person. I want God's favour to be upon you. I want your life to flourish so evidently that people see the blessing of God on your life. So shalom is a blessing of peace that God wants us to experience, and he wants us to release to those around about us. And so Jesus called his disciples to release shalom where they went. So if we look at Luke chapter 10 in verse 1, it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. So here we see Jesus on ministry, on tour, and he is sending disciples ahead of him to bless the city in preparation for him coming. Their job, I don't think, was to find the best 5-star inn for Jesus to stay in. It wasn't to go and find the best conference venue where Jesus would stand up and give his presentations. I don't think it was to go and find the head people in the city and arrange for them to come to the meet and greet after the event. I mean, isn't that how we do it today? But that's not what Jesus said his disciples were to do. In fact, he says in verse 8, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. So in other words, he's saying, I want you to go and prepare the place because the kingdom of God is coming. So how did they do this? Let's go back to verses 5 and 6. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. So they started with a house in the town. Now, there's an old Jewish saying about a man who said, looked at the world and said, I'm going to change the world. He realized the world's pretty big, a lot of people in the world. So he said, maybe it's just too big. How about I change my nation? And then he thought about that and the politics and the people and all that and went, that's still pretty big. I think I'll change my city. He realized that that was still a big effort. He said, I think I could change my street. Maybe I could change my house. I know. I'll start with me. Wherever you are on that spectrum, from knowing that there's things that God wants to change within you, to your house, your street, your city, the nation, the world. In this case, Jesus is saying to his disciples, you're going into a town to prepare it for the kingdom of God, and I want you to start with blessing of the house where you are going to stay. Having blessed that, go out to prepare the city. Now, verse 5 shows us really clearly that as disciples of Jesus, we have the authority to release a blessing of peace. But verse 6 is really interesting because what it says is that peace can be released, it can be received, and it can be rejected. So what that means is that peace is more than an emotion, isn't it? Because you can't give a feeling of peace. You can't accept or reject an emotion of peace, a feeling, a feel good. So this blessing, shalom, blessing of peace, is more of an entity. It's something that's very tangible because it can be released. It can be received. It can be rejected. So when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. That means that you have the authority to release peace in that house, to release the Spirit of God to move in that place. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. What's that mean? A person can receive that peace. The peace of God can rest upon that person as they receive it. But then it says, if not, it will return to you. So in other words, there is a person who may choose not to receive that blessing, in which case it is returned. So a blessing can be released, it can be received, it can be returned. This is shalom. This is this blessing of God's peace, prosperity, well-being, health, wholeness and flourishing. And we get the opportunity to release that into homes and into towns or cities. And so just like Jesus commissioned the 72 to go out into the towns and release peace, as disciples of Jesus, we have authority. We are given authority. And when we are faithful and obedient, we will release God's peace to those around about us. Now, notice in these verses, Jesus didn't say, I want you to go into the city and call all the people to come to the local synagogue where you're to bless them. That's not what happened. What he said was go into the house, meet people where they're at. In some of the other verses in this passage, it says sit at the table with them, do life with them, eat with them, and bless them. Bless them through what you say, bless them through who you are. Okay, so this is all part of what it means to bless. So when we bless, what I want to do now is just take one way of looking at blessings in a very simple way. It's not a formula, it's just a framework, and it can consist of three very simple parts. I bless you in the name of Jesus that he may or would do something. So in other words, any Christian can speak a blessing because we've been given authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus commands us to use our authority that we've been given to release blessings in his name. And so it is us who's been called to speak it. That's why we say, I bless you, not through your own power or influence, but through Christ who is in you. So therefore, I bless you in the name of Jesus. And secondly, we know it's not through what we do, other than obedience in speaking it out, but it's what he does through us. And so it is Jesus who will bring about what we have spoken if we are speaking in alignment with God's will. And lastly, we are praying that he may do this or he would do this. So in other words, just earlier we prayed, may your kingdom come. May your will be done. Isn't that what we prayed? Okay, so as we pray like that, we are inviting God to come and bring about his will, to bring about what it is that he actually desires for us. And so what we're seeing from Luke 10 is Jesus is sending his disciples, 72 of them in this case, into towns ahead of him to release blessings of peace and proclaim the kingdom of God. May your kingdom come. So in the last couple of weeks, Sam and Rob have referred to two passages in the context of theology of city and praying for city. I want to look at a different aspect of them to discover what it means to understand the principles of cities, what defines them, and how we therefore pray in accordance with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So in Psalm 122, and I know this is a little small, but I did that because the way this psalm is written is not just about the words, it's also about the way different verses are placed within this passage. Now, this is a psalm called a psalm of ascent, or a song of ascent. It was sung by the people of Israel as they went up to Jerusalem. Geographically, they went up, they were ascending. And as they went up to celebrate the three key festivals of the year, they would sing this group of 15 psalms. This is one of them. And so they are entering the city to come into a time of festival. And remember, festivals define cities, don't they? So they are singing this as they come to celebrate the city. And so what the author of Psalm 122 does is he starts the psalm in verse 1 and he finishes it in verse 9 with a declaration about the house of God. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And in verse 9, for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. So these verses are declaring God's presence in the city, that the house of God should be prevalent and significant and blessed within the city. Now, that's verses 1 and 9. So let's take the very middle verse, which is verse 5. And this is actually written so it forms an arrowhead. Okay? So it comes to the critical point in verse 5. And what's it say? There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. What's the house of David? It's the palace. It's the place of government. It's the seat of government. And so it means that we want to see good governance, and good governance means rightful and righteous justice in a city. So for a city to flourish, what they are doing is they are blessing both the church of the city and the government of the city. Church and state? Interesting, isn't it? It's actually saying that when both of these flourish, we want them both to be aligned with God's will and God's plan for a city. Because we discover that when these flourish and prosper, the city flourishes and prospers, and the people flourish and prosper. So let's just look at the last four verses of this passage. I want to read it from the complete Jewish Bible, because it helps us understand much more of the original context here. This is what it says. Pray for shalom in Yerushalem, which is Jerusalem. Okay? May those who love you prosper. In other words, where there is the shalom peace of God, there will be prosperity. May shalom be within your ramparts, prosperity in your palaces. In other words, where the shalom peace of God rests, the government will have all that it needs in terms of resources and influence, that the city would flourish. For the sake of my family and friends, I say shalom be within you. In other words, where the shalom peace of God rests, families and friendships, relationships will flourish. It will be healthy. For the sake of the house of Adonai our God, I will seek your well-being. In other words, the health of the church and the city are intertwined. That our churches are in our cities, and for our cities to experience the shalom peace of God, that will actually bless our churches as well. Does that make sense? This is what God is wanting us to understand about the things that he wants to see flourish within a city, and that we as Christians, through what we speak in alignment with God's will, and through what we do because of who we are as his children, can actually release into our city. But some people would say, oh, but you know, some cities aren't very godly. Some cities, you know, don't seem to have much of a spiritual influence that is good and godly. So should I bless that? Well, in Jeremiah's time, what had happened was that the people of Israel had been taken captive to Babylon. Babylon was a very ungodly city. So what did Jeremiah tell them to do? This is what he said. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have called you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. We're seeing here that God says, I know you are in an ungodly city, but pray for it. Bless it. Because as you bless that city and as you can bring transformation into that city, you too will flourish. You too will prosper. As we bring together the key themes of Psalm 122 with Jeremiah 29, we discover from the Word of God these aspects that God calls us to bless in a city. And this is what it is. He calls us to bless the church. He calls us to bless the government. He calls us to bless the celebrations of the city, because as they went up to the city to celebrate one of the festivals, they would declare blessings for the city. He calls us to bless families and relationships. He calls us to bless the economy. Isn't that fascinating that these are the exact same things that we would talk about if we wanted to define a city? We define a city by its spiritual atmosphere. We would define a city by whether or not it has good government or bad government, corruption. We'd define a city by the types of things that it celebrates. We rejoice in the fact that a city is healthy and safe for families and friends, don't we? And we want a city to be doing well economically, because that blesses the city and the region around about it. We're called to bless each of these. This is what Scripture shows us. To speak out what God, through the power of the Spirit, will reveal to us is his desired future for every aspect of cities. Why? Because we're called as disciples of Jesus to declare to the city the kingdom of God is coming. That's what Jesus told us from Luke 10. We're to go and bless towns. So as we wrap up this morning, instead of taking time to say, God, what have you been saying to me this morning and what are we going to do about it? I actually want to take what we've just been seeing through these 5 points and do something about it right now. And so if you're comfortable with this, I would like to have us all join together in declaring a blessing, so that you can hear what it is before you commit to saying it. Let me quickly read it to you. I've written this to bring together the scriptures that we've just been reading. We bless you, Toowoomba, in the name of Jesus. We bless you, Toowoomba, that the kingdom of God may come and God's will would be done. We bless you, Toowoomba, that the church of the city would grow in love and unity to reveal Christ increasingly in our city. We bless you, Toowoomba, that there'd be good government led by our mayor, councillors and council staff. We bless you, Toowoomba, that we would celebrate in this city as the Carnival of Flowers reveals your glory, beauty and creative power. We bless you, Toowoomba, that families and friendships would be healthy, strong, loving and peaceful, so our community would flourish. We bless you, Toowoomba, that our economy would grow as businesses prosper. We bless you, Toowoomba, that the kingdom of God may come and God's will would be done. Everyone okay with that? Okay. Can I encourage you? Let's stand. And let's declare this for our city. Let's go. We bless you, Toowoomba, in the name of Jesus Christ. We bless you, Toowoomba, that the kingdom of God may come and God's will would be done. We bless you, Toowoomba, that the church of the city would grow in love and unity to reveal Christ increasingly in our city. We bless you, Toowoomba, that there would be good government led by our mayor, councillors and council staff. We bless you, Toowoomba, that what we celebrate in this city as the Carnival of Flowers reveals your glory, beauty and creative power. We bless you, Toowoomba, that families and friendships may be healthy, strong, loving and peaceful so that our community would flourish. We bless you, Toowoomba, that our economy would grow as businesses prosper. We bless you, Toowoomba, that the kingdom of God may come and God's will would be done. Amen. Thank you. For those of you who'd like to continue with using that, practicing that, then that will be in the message mates that will go out on email this week. Let us join together in worship as we celebrate who God is and the blessings that he's called us to release and to give to our city.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.